Good morning. If you have your Bibles, if you will turn to the book of Acts, chapter 6, we'll look at a few things from Acts, chapter 6 this morning. And I will say that in my mind, the lesson is going to be short. I don't know how you will think of it, but in my mind, it will be short. God has richly blessed us, and as we have done in our theme this year, or talked about our theme this year, in other words, let us arise and build. And we have seen this from Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, where Nehemiah is encouraging the Israelites to return to the land as they return to the land to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And I have the pleasure and delight to be able to help us to do this as we continue to build and grow here at Mill Road. And I have the privilege to be able to present lessons to help us to look among us to see if we might have those who would serve as deacons. And I'm delighted to be able to do that. See, the building process, as you look back in the New Testament in reference to God's people, there is an order that God has instructed us and given us. And that order can be found as you look throughout those scriptures in reference to the organization of the church, where you have elders and deacons. In fact, in Philippians chapter 1, that's exactly what you see there, where Paul writes to the brethren at Philippi, and he says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and notice and deacons. And so you look at this order that God has given, and especially these passages in all of these things here, notice we are to go by the Word of God because it is the rule of faith and practice. It is there where we find how we are to worship our God as well. And our mission is to teach souls. But in the process of this, working together as God's people to accomplish this, this is that building process. And so again, it is a pleasure to be able to look among us to see if we those who would serve or be qualified to serve as deacons. So this morning, I'm going to begin the series of lessons on who are they, their work, and their qualifications. This morning, I'm just going to be dealing with who are they and their work. And many of us have heard lessons and may have even studied themselves about these things here. So let's begin to explore deacons this morning. Who are they? The word deacon comes from the Greek word diakonos. With diakonos, it can be translated as minister, servant. So deacons would be those who really, as you start to look throughout the scriptures, and we'll see some of the examples of this, that they are an attendant. That's what they are. Those who attend to the need or service of another. And in particular, as we will be talking about, in reference to the Lord's church here at Mill Road. They could be considered as waiters. Now, these terms that I'm using, I know we have our thought process of how society may view these things. But as I go through the lesson, I hope that you will view them from the way that God is showing us and revealing to us in the scriptures. Because when we look at the term waiter, oh, that is the lowly person in service. And that's not so. I want you to think about that for a moment. You go to a restaurant and you sit there and there is this person that comes up to take your order, to make sure that you have all the utensils. If they're doing their job well, that person is hard at work. What they are doing is they're going to serve you. As you give your order, they're going to take that order and they're going to give it to those who are in the other part of the restaurant preparing the meals. And the preparation of the meals is going to be according to the chef who has his own menu of these items or those meals. And so they're all working together. In the restaurant of God, Jesus is the chief chef. The elders are the managers of the restaurant to make sure that things are going according to what the chief chef wants done and served. And the waiters are the deacons who are attending to the needs of the customers or the members of God's people. That's the concept that's going forth from this term, deacons. Another term would be a helper. That's what's going on. Helping to accomplish the will of God in the service of reaching out and trying to reach lost souls so that they can be saved. And then there is this other term of servant, minister here. And it's really what's going on. They are servants of God attending to the needs of the members. So these men who are chosen to serve, they're going to be serving in a special capacity. That's what deacons are, men who serve in a special capacity. You know what was interesting is when you look over in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21, and also in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7 there. Do you see there that Tychicus is mentioned? Tychicus is called a minister. And that word minister that he's being called there comes from the word diakonos, deacon. So it's a possibility in the ministry of Tychicus, he is serving as a deacon. When you look over in the passage that Paul writes to the brethren and telling them about him. As you look there in chapter 6, verse 21, "But that you also may know about my circumstances, how I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you." So Tychicus is serving in a special capacity. And one of the things that he's serving in is coming and letting the brethren know about the circumstances of Paul, an apostle of Christ. And you find the same thing as mentioned there in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7. So, in this concept of deacons, what is involved in their work? I believe that Acts chapter 6 helps us to see that. Now, in Acts chapter 6, when you turn over there, you'll notice that there was a situation that had occurred. And in that situation, the Grecian women or widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution. The Bible says, "Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number," now I want you to understand, there are thousands of them, several thousands of disciples. In Acts chapter 2, remember there was about 3,000 souls. And then as you continue, see, now 5,000. So the disciples are increasing, so you got several thousands of Christians here. And among them, there were widows. There were the Hebrew widows, or the Hellenistic Jew widows, and then there were the native Hebrews widows that are mentioned. And it says, "And their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12, that is the apostles, summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables.'" And then what he does is he gives instructions, or they give instructions on how they were to choose 7 men among them to look after this service. That's what it's called, service. The serving of the widows to make sure that they are being taken care of. They're helpers. They're helpers in connection to what the apostles are doing. Remember, there is a distinction between the responsibility that the apostles have versus taking care of this matter. It is an important matter. And so the apostles point out, you choose seven men among you to take care of this matter. Now notice in connection to that, the serving tables. What is that all about? In looking at the serving table concept, it is really dealing with the physical needs of the work. That's what serving tables is. Serving tables is not about this work being inferior. No, it's not about that. It's an important work. Why is that work important? If it wasn't important, then why are they to choose seven men to take care of the task? And at the same time, why are there qualifications for these men? What is that saying? That this is a very important work. And when you look at those qualifications, in fact, you're going to see, wow. Notice in verse 3 of the qualification of these men, these seven men who are going to do or take care of this work in Acts 6. Good reputation, full of the Spirit, and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. So here is this task, this important task, this important service. These men have to have a good reputation. They have to be full of the Spirit and of wisdom. So often what is forgotten in this concept or this aspect here is that there is going to take some organization to accomplish this. Because there's a large number of disciples here, and in particular the widows. And so it's going to take organization. And so those men are going to have wisdom to be able to do this and organize this distribution in a proper way. So it takes wisdom to do that. And their reputation is that there are men who are going to be faithful and they seek to do good for others. Because you've got several, the situation where women are in a vulnerable position. Some of them are from out of town. Here they are in Jerusalem, in this area. And they need help. Someone of good reputation is not going to come in and take advantage of them, you see. So that tells you it's a very important service that they are taking care of. Here's something else about that. They are appointed to this. They're put in charge of it. And so being put in charge of something means that this is a responsible work or service to be done. And since those men are appointed or put in charge of this task, it is to be accomplished. And we're going to see why that is so important when it comes to this situation here in Acts 6. So they are appointed to this. Then as pointed out, since they are appointed or put in charge, there are the qualifications that are there. So it lets us know that it is very important to God that this happens. Remember, it's about serving these widows. And the wisdom that it would take to do this, to organize this, they might even employ others to come in and take part. You might have someone who is, as they take charge of this, they are the ones that say, hey, we need somebody to have this all gathered together. We need somebody maybe to even do some cooking to help out in this as the food is being brought for it to be distributed. And so you got these men taking charge, putting these things in order, and that the task is getting accomplished. Those physical needs might be with widows, food, like I said. It might be even clothing and shelter. But these men are helping out in that. So why this is important? Because when it comes to widows, if you look back in the Old Testament, there are a lot of passages that deal with that. In fact, when you look over in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 3 through 16, it is there that the apostle addresses Timothy in reference to the church there at Ephesus in dealing with widows. That there were widows who could be put on the list and taken care of by the church there. But they had to meet qualifications. And those qualifications are given in that chapter, in those passages. So that Timothy has a working idea on how or who is to be put on the list that could be taken care of there with the brethren at Ephesus. But if the widow had children or grandchildren, the responsibility of the family was to take care of them so that the church would not be burdened with that. That it would accomplish the mission of reaching lost souls. But if the widow met those qualifications, she could be put on the list and taken care of. It's almost to say that God, yes, He has a heart for widows. What's interesting is, look at Psalms chapter 68. I think Psalm 68 will help us to see this a little bit clearer in reference to this important task of these men making sure that the widows are cared for. I want you to notice what the psalmist says, beginning in verse 1. He says, "Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered, and let those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive away, them away as wax." As wax, he says, melts before the fire. So let the wicked perish before God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them exalt before God. Yes, let them rejoice with gladness. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Lift up a song for him who rides through the deserts, whose name is the Lord, and exalt before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge for the widows is God in his holy habitation. God is a judge of widows. If they are being mistreated, God will stand up for them. And so the situation that occurred there in Acts chapter 6 is a no-no, but it happened. And so it was to be taken care of. God looking out for the widows as the apostles gave the instructions to the congregation to have men to take care of this task. Here's another passage, Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10, Isaiah speaks of this in reference to widows and makes mention again of his attitude about them. Isaiah chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. And notice what the prophet says, or God says through the prophet. I like to preference that way because that's exactly what's going on. That God is speaking through the prophets. And these things are recorded for us to see God's attitude concerning widows. He says, "Woe to those who enact evil statutes and to those who constantly record unjust decisions so as to deprive the needy of justice and rob the poor of my people of their rights, so that widows may be their spoil." Those things are written to take advantage of these widows, and the widows become the spoils of the individual because they are writing or carrying out these unjust decisions. And God is showing his disapproval of this through the prophet. And then not only that, he points out in connection to these things, now what will you do in the day of punishment and in the devastation which will come from afar? To whom will you flee for help? And where will you leave your wealth? God judges nations when they're not taking care of or being unjust towards those who are needy and those who take advantage of widows. And God is serious about this. So when you look back in Acts chapter 6, in the work of these men, it is an important work. That's what you can begin to conclude. It's not an inferior work. It's an important work. That's the best way to look at that. And God wants us to look at it from that standpoint when you look at other passages that help us to see and connect these things. So you have the warning of God's judgment on the mistreatment of widows. And so no wonder, as the apostles told them, you choose 7 men among you to take care of this task. So the work is involving taking care of the physical needs of the church. Upkeep of the place of worship. Why do I say that? That's all plays a part in accomplishing the work. Remember God's instruction to the Hebrew Christians there in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25? For them not to forsake the assembling of themselves together. So if God wants us to assemble, we got to find a place to do that. And deacons help in accomplishing that task. We're fortunate in our day and time to have buildings. We're also fortunate in our day and time to not have the threat of an army coming and dispersing us because we are worshiping together to serve God, assembling ourselves. But here we see God instructs them to assemble. So there's a place to assemble. With the elders, the deacons are helping the elders to upkeep the place where we would be assembled. As they focus on making sure that the work is being accomplished the way that God instructs. So that's an important work in that. If you ask those who are serving as deacons now, they'll tell you there's a lot of challenges in the upkeep of the place of worship here. Things need to be replaced. And even in the process those things, some they do it sometimes themselves, or they have to look for someone to be able to take care of those matters so that we have the place to assemble and fulfill God's desire for us. How about this? Yeah, they also help in reference to where we are encouraged to sing songbooks or getting using tools to be able for us to accomplish this. Sometimes it takes some research and so forth in these matters. Not only that, but remember, there are other things that need to be taken care of. Appreciate the work that the deacons do in connection to providing statements so that we can see what's going on. Yeah. Getting a list of the members so that we can keep in contact with one another. That's all part of the work. It's an important work. And that's where you see this term, helpers, attendants. That concept helps us to see the importance of it all. Here's another one, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40. So this passage we overlook a lot of times because we find it in the instructions that God gives in reference to the days of the miraculous spiritual gifts. But this passage here is important. It's an important principle in reference to the work of deacons in helping the elders to accomplish the desires of God. in verse 40, but all things must be done properly and in an orderly manner. Who's getting all the schedules together for the men to participate, to lead in worship, praising our God? Now, deacons are behind that, helping out, while the elders are focusing on those matters to help us to grow in a spiritual way in our service to God. So 1 Corinthians 14 plays a very important part to help us to understand. That's why we do things the way that we do things. We're striving to do them decently and in order. And so we begin to see that these things are important in the work of God's people. That's a part of the building process. How about the spiritual need of the church? They might participate in the spiritual needs by teaching Bible classes, preaching the Word of God. Now, why do I say that? If you go back to Acts chapter 6, even though these men are not called deacons here in Acts chapter 6, but we could see the work that they are in charge of doing, and notice what else goes on. It is these men full of wisdom, and these men full of the Spirit, and Stephen is one who goes out and he's preaching. In fact, it says in verse 8, and Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. And he was preaching. And then all of a sudden, what happens? He is then taken in the midst of the Sanhedrin. He stands before them. And what he does, he points out to them their ways, how they are stubborn and stiff-necked, as he's preaching God's word. And they got angry with him, and Stephen lost his life. But you can see Stephen participating in the spiritual needs of the church there. In chapter 8, Philip, he's called Philip the Evangelist. He's proclaiming the word of God. He goes to Samaria and he's preaching. So they also participate in the spiritual needs of the church. So this work of deacons is an important work. There's a lot involved, and it's needed. And again, appreciate the men who serve now as deacons. And so we get the opportunity to look among us to see if there are others. We're going to talk about their qualifications specifically in the next lesson. And so this morning, I wanted us to begin to look at the importance of that work that is given, that it's not an inferior work. Not at all. It's important too. And with the church working together in harmony, in unity, that we can grow and be pleasing to God and let others see that God's arrangement, God's order is the best order. That he just didn't tell us, we obey the gospel and then he just let us go and do whatever we wanted. No, there is an order that God has given. And he's showing us that each of us are important in accomplishing the work. There may be those who will not qualify as deacons, but they still are servants of God. And they may be asked to do certain things in reference to the worship and growth of God's people here at Mill Road. So, I want to end by pointing out these things concerning the work of the deacons. These are men appointed to serve the church in a special capacity. They are servants caring for the physical needs of the congregation. That's important. That's so important. They assist in the spiritual needs of God's people. They assist in that by giving lessons, by making those arrangements, helping and getting those in positions where they can carry out the work of our spiritual growth and harmony in God. So with that, if you will, bow with me in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that shows us the importance of these things so that we may carry them out. We pray your guidance upon us as we look among us to find those who would be qualified to serve as deacons. And we pray, Lord, that you'll give us the wisdom, give us the heart, give us the courage to always seek your guidance in these things so that we may do them right. So that you'll be pleased, that you'll be glorified. As the world looks at us in our growth, in our order, as you have given, that we do these things to the best of our abilities and serve as you have given us, so that we could be example to those that you, Lord, in your order of things, helps us to be in order in our own lives. Forgive us when we have looked at these things as being unimportant. Help us, Lord, to realize that your instructions and what you provide is always important. Give us the strength throughout all of these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, I want to encourage you to do so before it's everlasting too late. God provided Jesus the Christ to die for us. And as Ben pointed out at the table, that was the display of love. It was a display of the love of God for you and me. And may we ever recognize how important that love is when we look at the cross. That it may move us, if we're outside of Christ, to obey His will. That it may move us and convince us to see that, as we see that love, to fall before our God and ask Him to forgive us as we put our faith in Him, as we repent of our sins, and as we obey His gospel by being buried with Him in baptism, where our sins are washed away, and now we are a child of God as we're raised up out of that water to walk in newness of life. May our hearts and may our souls be dedicated to Him, so when this walk is over, that will be with Him throughout eternity. And so, my friend.